May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What Scripture makes really clear is that each one of us were born responsible for Adam's sin. We were in him. He was our representative. And so we are guilty of Adam's sin, and we're born with his sinful nature. We inherited what Adam accomplished or in Adam's failure. The same thing is true about Christ. There's only two kinds of people in the world. There are those who are still in Adam with Adam's nature and guilty of Adam's sin plus all the stuff that we added on beginning at about the first 2 hours of our life when we didn't let anybody around us sleep. And then there are those who are in Christ, because Jesus was our covenant representative. And so his story is our story. His history is our history. Adam's history was our history before we were born again. And then what was true about Jesus was reckoned to us. So you have to understand, again, like, why didn't Jesus just show up at 33 and a half and then like go to the cross, pay for our sins, raise from the dead? Because God wanted to redeem all of our humanity. Jesus came as second Adam, as the second man. Not just to die for us, but also to show us how Adam, before the fall, how we were created to live. So what Jesus did is he came and he clothed himself. God stepped out of eternity and will forever be God-man. We say this lately, that there's forever a human sitting in the triune God, in the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son is forever 100% God and 100% man. He didn't leave his humanity behind. And so when he was born, he clothed himself in our humanity. And his history became our history. The life that he lived and the death that he died is reckoned to our account. And we're raised up in him, and his life is now our life. And so when, this is always a cool thing for me. So when the Father, in Jesus' baptism, when the Father, Holy Spirit came and rested on him, and the Father says, "Behold my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased," we were in Christ. Christ was clothed in our humanity. And so this is the Luke passage when it says, "As for me," John speaking, "I baptize in water, but he who is mightier than I am is coming. And I'm unfit to untie the thong of his sandals, and he himself will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire." And his winnowing fork is in his hand, to clean out his threshing floor and to gather the wheat in his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so many other exhortations that he gave. Now it came about when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form. And a dove came out of heaven, and his voice came out of heaven saying, you're my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus, why was Jesus baptized? He said it was to fulfill our righteousness. What righteousness? The Father made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And so this, when the Father spoke this to Jesus, when the Spirit came on him, and John says, remained on him, and the Father spoke, "Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then immediately after this, he's thrust into battle. The Mark passage says he was thrown into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, to be tested. But before that happened, the Holy Spirit was on him as the Son of Man, and he heard the Father's voice, "You're my beloved Son, in you I'm well pleased." And what is that what does that mean to me? Is that when the Father said that to Jesus, he was also saying that to me. Because I'm in Christ. And his history is my history. When he said that I'm his beloved, to Jesus, his beloved, he was saying to me, I'm his beloved. Not only am I his beloved, because I'm in Christ, I'm as much the beloved of the Father as Jesus is. We've talked about that. And it's really important that you understand that. Because you're in Christ. We talked about that Sunday. That our adoption as sons is through Christ. We share his sonship relationship with the Father. Why is that important? Because there's going to be a lot of times when you're going to go through battles, right? When you're going to find yourself in either miniature or elongated wildernesses. And the enemy's going to attack. And when the enemy attacks, he uses a lot of ifs. You ever notice that? That the warfare is usually between your two ears? And he speaks and opens up a lot of conversations with if, or if you hadn't made that decision, or if that hadn't happened to you, or if they hadn't made that decision, or if the culture had been different, or if the stock market hadn't done this, or if. Or if you had not done something wrong, you wouldn't be in this mess or whatever. But Jesus had ringing in his ears as the Son of Man. I'm the Father's beloved. And he's well pleased with me. And it says that he was led about in the Spirit in the wilderness. See, because of my, Jesus is my history, his history is my history, because I'm clothed in him, he's clothed in me, that I participate in his relationship with the Father and his anointing with the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that we spend a lot of time pleading with God to anoint us more. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The Father knows our hearts, right? He honors our passion and our heart's desire. But we make everything so much more complicated. Unnecessarily. If you have Christ in you, you have the anointing that Christ carries. This experience was your experience. Our baptism of the Holy Spirit is really just being immersed into what's already ours in Christ. It's a release. That's what, I don't know if you ever heard of John Wimber, that's what he used to say when he was explaining baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, you don't get anything more. You just enter into something you've already had more. But he said, but people use baptism in the Spirit like it's something they've never had. And that, he said, look, I'd rather have a full jar with the wrong label than the right label with the empty jar. I think that's how important theology is to God. Full jar is more important than all the words. But I want you to be encouraged that this is, Jesus was, when Jesus heard this, he was clothed in your humanity. God was speaking this to you. It's your experience too. Today, that you are his beloved. And your understanding and conviction of your belovedness is really significant. Because that's how God changes us. That's how God changes us when we fail. Even when we fail, his heart may be grieved at what we've done, but he still delights in us. That never changes. We're still his beloved, and we still carry the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that Jesus carried. I don't know about you, but then I understand, we live by faith. Not faith in something I'm pleading for, but faith in someone I've been placed into. And that's what we mean by living from Christ, not living for Christ. God makes it simple. He takes the cookies. He takes the perfect turkey, like Lauren, and he takes it off the top shelf and puts it on the counter so that the smallest little one can get to it. Amen. The deeper you go, the simpler it gets. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.